Welcome everyone to Bearmansville's Sunday morning baptism service, and just a place where we are going to invite other people, new people, to be part of our community of faith, and a community of honoring and getting to know God and interacting with each other. I did a little calculations, and it gets a little fuzzy back there, but it's been almost over 40 years since I was baptized. And I'm sure that I didn't have an idea what I was getting in for back then. And I'm glad they let me come in and be part of the church and all that. But over time, the people I was with as accountability partners, the people I was with in small groups, and the people of the church community helped me to become who I am today. I'm very thankful for that. And I would like us to pledge again that to the people that are becoming part of our community today. God is an amazing God. God is a very real God and very connected to our daily life. Although without other people to help us to see that, sometimes we can feel disconnected from God, and it takes that to help us. I know that I think I thought whenever I became a Christian and became baptized that then I would have a pretty ordinary, normal life. But there's a lot of battles that came along the way that didn't anticipate at first, and that's part of what our worship says about this morning.
After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the Menuhites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some of the people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said,
"Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when we came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you."
Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you."
Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites stood and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said,
"Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful."
After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. They were saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever."
As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Amorites and Moabites rose against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another.
When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord.
Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets.
The fear of God came when all the surrounding kingdoms, when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Ephesians 6:12 says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms."
Power and
Eastern Mennonite Missions has workers in many different countries just sharing the name of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, the power of God to transform lives. So I invite the ushers to come forward as we sing this next song and receive the offering. I also invite you to stand as we sing these next songs.
Just an announcement also that we have a special basket offering for MCC's Ukrainian Emergency Response Fund by the door and also downstairs on the table. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you that we can worship your holy name in a group setting where so many places in this world they cannot do so. Lord, encourage us and embolden us to lift people up who are working on the front lines with MCC and as well as EMM, taking your word where it needs to be, taking your love to those who need to know it, to hear it, to feel it, to experience it. Lord, use us to be your vessels today. We thank you that you have provided for us and that we can give back but a portion of what you have given us so that we can help those around us in need. We thank you for this time of worship and praise. In your Son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Yeah.
that sacrifice for us, that we can truthfully, wholeheartedly, honestly say it is well with my soul, despite what's going on around us in our lives. We just honor you today for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. This morning, a few of us will be sharing a little bit about our small group Bible studies and what we've been learning in them lately. So Keith and I will be sharing a little bit about the Young Adult Bible Study. First of all, what is the Young Adult Bible Study? It's open to anyone who considers himself a young adult. We don't check birth certificates, so whether you're 18 or you're at the borderline, I'm not sure if I'm an adult or a young adult, you know, just come. And for the last year and a half or so, we've been meeting at Keith and Rhonda's place. They've opened up their home for us to have it there. And it's been great having them. They sit in on the lessons as well, and they provide some good insight that comes from a few more years of experience than most of us have. Lately, what we've been just finishing up is something called the Engagement Project. So the Engagement Project is kind of a follow-up to the Truth Project, if you've ever heard of that. It was released back in the early 2000s.
I should clarify something here. This is engagement with your neighbors, not engagement to be married. Though, if that thought drives attendance, we're welcome to have you there.
True. So, you know, a little bit about what the Engagement Project is. The Engagement Project looks at God's royal law for us, loving our neighbor as ourself, and what that actually looks like if we consider our neighbor to be our actual neighbors, those who live near us, and what that looks like for 21st century American Christians.
Yeah, thanks for that intro, Derek. And I'm definitely not one of the young adults. I think I'm officially middle-aged now, but it's been a pleasure getting to see God work in the lives of young adults and to be a part of this. So the series started out with an overview of God's original design for mankind's right relationship with him and right relationship with other people, and started off all the way back in the Garden of Eden and the fall, and how that Satan's end game is really death and destroyed relationships, that we would have a dead and fruitless life, and then an isolated life becomes a fruitless life. So he really wants to cut us off and isolate us, and I think it's really important that we're here this morning to help thwart that plan. Our enemy wants us to also get caught up in our script. Our script meaning like the things we think ought to happen to us that we deserve or that we want to have in life, and how we want our life to be. And then when that doesn't happen quite as planned, it's easy to get caught up in negative and unfruitful emotions like worry or fear, or resentment. And then when we lose sight of God's larger story, those negative emotions destroy relationships, and that takes away our fruitfulness for God's kingdom. The other thing that really stood out to me in that part was, as we look at the world around us and what's going on, Satan wants consolidated power and to create dependency in order to destroy desire, incentive, and purpose and meaning in life. And so it caused me to ask, as a business leader and otherwise, where am I consolidating power versus helping other people flourish in their gifts? And if we look at government and the world around us and the institutions around us, there's a lot going on about consolidating power and creating dependency. And it really stood out to me how that's a tactic that Satan uses rather than empowering people to flourish. So anyhow, instead of allowing this resentment and disappointment, anger, bitterness, self-centeredness with their own script to isolate us from real relationships with other people, he challenged us in a powerful way to love our neighbors, those whom God has placed near us. And so Derek mentioned about the royal decree, the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength, and that can only be fulfilled by living out the second commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. And James 2:8 says, if you really keep the royal law, as found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. So, Derek, did you want to share a little more?
A couple of things that stuck out to me as we were going through the lessons in the study. One is they pointed out that Jesus himself didn't really invest deeply into a whole lot of people. He did invest deeply into 12. He interacted with other people. He showed his love and his compassion to a lot of people, but he invested deeply into 12 people, and of those 12, he invested really deeply into 3. And so if we follow Jesus' same model, we physically can't interact deeply with a whole lot of people. But if we focus, what would happen if we focus on the few and the whole, I guess, subject of the engagement project was focusing on our actual neighbors and what that looks like. The second thing was that despite it being called the engagement project, loving our neighbors is not to be a project. It's supposed to come out of a genuine relationship with Christ, and our job is just not to get in the way of the Holy Spirit's work in our life. We're already, one thing that Dell Hackett often said was, we're already equipped with everything we need to fulfill God's royal law. Our job is just not to get in the way of the Holy Spirit's power. And one other thing that stuck out to me was that God has given to us, the common everyday Christians, the work of the kingdom. You know, we don't need a special title or we don't need special training in order to be fruitful.
Yeah, so for me, I'm really task-driven naturally, and so my script in life tends to look a lot like a to-do list, and there's nothing more sacred in my normal part of the week than a Saturday when I can get a lot of that stuff done. And so I've been challenged that in order to really live this out, I need to allow God to kind of interrupt that to-do list. And so whether it's the guy at Musselman that talked for longer than I really thought he should be talking the other day, well, but we had an opportunity to talk about things of the Lord and how his walk with the Lord is going and some things in his life and just things like that, I think is part of that. And so for me, that's a challenge, is to let my to-do list become a servant of engaging and loving the people that God puts in my pathway. Some challenging statements, and there's been many of them, but a couple that really stood out to me were C.S. Lewis said, "Loving everyone in general is often an excuse for loving no one in particular." And there's something comforting about loving people far away that doesn't interrupt my life at inconvenient times, like when I'm trying to get in and out of Musselman or somewhere else or get stuff done on Saturday and there's rain coming. And then kind of wrapping up this whole urgency for us to live out and engage our faith, engage with our neighbors is, if say roughly 25% of Americans are truly practicing born-again believers, and that percentage may be off a little bit, but if that were the case and we each reached out to the neighbor on the left and the right and across the street times three, three other people, three other families, imagine the transformation that could take place in our society if we did that. And for many of us, we have far more people than that we interact with from time to time. Would also like to just share a little bit about the value of being in a small group. We've been a part of many over the years, one for quite a while and others before that in various ways. And for me, it's regular and scheduled intentional learning versus when I get the time after I'm not so busy, that, like you be out here at the cemetery looking down at me when I'm not so busy. So it takes that regular scheduled intentional learning that's helpful, along with an opportunity to build deeper relationships with other believers and to be challenged by them and their perspectives. And sometimes we don't always agree on everything, and no surprise there, but it gives us an opportunity to have our faith be challenged. And in some aspects, I think it keeps alive the early church model and prepares us for the future when we may not be permitted to gather together in large groups as we are here today and as is forbidden in many places around the globe. So those are three ways that I think small groups have been and are valuable for us as believers. Derek?
Yeah, one thing that is that I find valuable in being in a small group is just the opportunity to pray with other believers, especially during this series, the Engagement Project. It was great to be able to come alongside fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and pray for each other as we did stuff that was maybe a little bit out of our comfort zone, and start, meeting our neighbors, getting to know them a little bit, start the conversation, start the interaction with them. And so that was really a blessing for me. And it was also exciting to see God start to move and God start to work in us and in our relations with other people. As we heard, many different instances of people that got to start a conversation with a neighbor, get to meet their neighbors for the first time. And so that's been really, really great. And we're, continuing to wait for the Lord and see what he has for us as we continue to interact with our neighbors. And so kind of what Keith was sharing, the vision for this and for the Engagement Project is an exciting one. And so not that you need, special training or anything like that, but if anybody would be interested in borrowing the Engagement Project for their own small group or anything, you can talk to me about it. And so thank you.
In the song Friends by Waldner Messengers, they sing, "Friends, we all need friends. We were not meant to be alone. We need someone to lean on. We call them friends. When the clouds hang low, when the sun shines bright, whether day or night, you can count on your friends." Yes, one of the aspects of being made in God's image is that we desire fellowship not only with God, but also with one another. To promote fellowship and deeper friendships and support within our congregation, Chet Yoder came to us in the spring of 2006 and asked Jane and me about forming a care group with Leonard and Mim Zimmerman, Bob and Viola Hostetter, Wilmer and Marie Lehman, and Eugene and Mabel Martin. Getting together monthly for the past 16 years, except during the COVID pandemic, has strengthened the bonds of friendship as we share in the experiences of life. We have been there for each other to promote comfort and a shoulder to cry on in times of sorrow and grief for those experiencing the death of a loved one, as well as to share in the times of rejoicing with those celebrating the marriage of a child or a grandchild or the birth of a grandchild or a great-grandchild. And then, of course, our lives were also enriched by sharing the myriad ordinary experiences of life. We generally take turns meeting in each other's homes for a light meal and sometimes table games and sometimes just visiting. Sometimes we go out to eat, sometimes an activity like miniature golf or a backyard campfire. We also rent a cabin for a winter weekend getaway and also enjoyed many years of camping, a camping weekend at Woodcrest Retreat. But time brings changes. We no longer do the camping weekend. The group itself also has changed. Currently, Jane and I, Leonard and Mim, Wilmer Marie, Viola Hostetter, Ruthie Horst, and Jean and Edie Zimmerman make up the group. We have changed as well. We're 16 years older. Most of us are retired now. Some of us have faced the daunting task of moving to a new home. And we notice that we're well past the midpoint in our lives. We don't move quite as fast as we once did. However, we're still young at heart, and we enjoy our times of fellowship and being involved in each other's lives. As someone in our group had commented, a little encouragement can go a long way, surrounded by friends who love us in spite of our shortcomings. I think that comment pretty well sums up the purpose of our group.
Well, thank you for sharing about your small groups. I would encourage anyone who's here today and would like to become a part of a small group to contact myself, Tony, or I think Linford Zimmerman is the Nurture Commission coordinator. So contact one of us and we'll get you plugged into a small group, because I think they're very, very valuable, as you heard this morning. So if you're looking for that, let us know. We'll get you plugged in. Well, this morning is a celebration as we receive four new persons as members and also baptize two young ladies this morning. So it is a time of celebration, and I think we should consider it a time of celebration. So as we go through this morning, if you want to cheer and clap or do whatever, you're welcome to do that, because I think it is part of the celebration that takes place as persons are baptized and become part of us here at Bumsville Mennonite Church. So at this time, I'd like to invite Kaylee, Rachel, Tony, Fanny, Brian, and Carol to come forward at the front of the church here, and I'm going to invite Brian Martin to introduce the group, and Ken's going to be joining Carol as well. So, but I'm going to ask Brian to introduce the group. I ask for some information from each one of these individuals. So Brian's going to introduce the group based upon the information that they themselves gave. So it shouldn't come as any surprise as to what is being said here this morning, unless Brian ad-libs and adds a few things along the way, which you're welcome to do that if you feel so moved. So when Brian says your name, would you please raise your hand so that people can know who Brian is talking about? Go ahead, Brian.
All right, well, good morning, everybody, and it is an honor to introduce these this morning. So starting with Rachel Whitmer. Her parents are Tony and Teresa, and she attends Garden Spot Middle School, and this is your first year there, right? You went to Hinkletown before that? Great. She likes volleyball, interior design, decorating, writing stories, and doodling. And her favorite Bible verse is Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, they are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Something unique about Rachel is her personality, because she's fun, crazy, creative, curious, kind, and smartish. All right, next we have Kaylee Zimmerman. And Kaylee's parents are Justin and Crystal Zimmerman. And Kaylee attends LAMS, Lititz Area Mennonite School. What grade are you in, Kaylee? Fifth. She's a fifth grader there. Her hobbies are horse riding, archery, reading, and running. Her favorite Bible verse is Psalm 56:3. "When I'm afraid, I will trust in you." She has a favorite song. It's "The Battle Belongs to You." And something unique about her, I'm not sure this is so unique, but I know that she's like this. She likes animals. You have a pet rabbit, right? Great. Okay, next is Carol Whitmer. She's here. Her employer is that she's a retired Christian school teacher, retired from the Old Country Store. Her hobbies are sewing, quilting, reading, history, and genealogy. Her favorite Bible verse is Jeremiah 33:3. "Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." Her favorite song is "Be Thou My Vision." And Carol would like to know, for you to know this about her. She has two children and nine grandchildren, and that she was raised Catholic and was saved at the age of 15. Tony Horning is next. Tony is a self-employed truck driver. His hobbies are hunting, fishing, working on antique trucks. Favorite Bible verse is Romans 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love that God, from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he has a favorite song, it's Survivor by Zach Williams. Okay, Fanny Horst is next. All right. So Fanny works at Yoder's Country Market, and her hobbies are crossword puzzles, reading, and crocheting. Her favorite Bible verse is Psalm 51:10-13. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. She has a favorite song. It's It Is Well With My Soul, which I think we sang this morning. And Fanny wants you to know this about her, that she has always felt welcome here. And yeah, last we have Brian Horst. Brian works at delivery.com. His interests are music and writing. And I'm not going to read his favorite Bible verse. I believe it's a Bible chapter. Psalm 91, you can read that. And let's see, you have a favorite song. It's Revival Anthem by Ren Collective. And Brian wants you to know that he likes his coffee black, his donuts with cream, and how much fun he has, and the relationships that he has built, and the support that he received since he's been attending here. He appreciates all that.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian, for introducing everyone. And I just want to be right up front this morning and want you all to understand that because of some bad choices that Brian Horst has made in his life, he is on the registered sex offender list. I've walked with Brian the last 8 years. He spent 2 years in prison, 8 years in probation. I walked with Brian very closely the last 8 years, and I've watched and witnessed firsthand the supernatural transformation that comes through the Holy Spirit living in our hearts and changing and transforming us. So we're welcoming Brian and everyone here this morning. So give him another round of applause. So Tony, Fanny, Brian, and Carol have all received believer's baptism. They've all reviewed our church covenant and signed it. And so they're being received this morning on their confession of faith in Jesus Christ. So welcome to Bowmansville. It's great to have you here. So at this time, you guys can be seated, and we'll proceed with the baptism for Rachel and Kaylee. So you guys can just stay here for the minute, okay? Well, until we go through these questions. So I spent the last number of weeks going through a book, God's Story, Our Story, with these young ladies. These young ladies both attended Christian schools, so it's very evident in their understanding of the scriptures, of their faith and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So I'm going to ask them several questions as we go through this baptism. The first one, the questions are on the screen for you to see. Is it your own personal desire and decision to be counted a follower of Jesus and to become a member of his church and to fellowship here at Bowmansville? Can you answer it is?
It is.
Do you believe in the one true and living God who is known to us as God the Father, Jesus, God's one and only Son, and the Holy Spirit, our comforter and guide into all truth? Can you answer, I do? Are you sorry for your sins? Can you answer, I am?
I am.
Have you asked Jesus to forgive your sins? I have.
I have.
And do you promise with God's help to follow Jesus all the days of your life and to use your gifts to help others in need and to serve God and His church? I do. And now to you, the congregation, are you willing to receive these persons, Kaylee and Rachel, Tony, Fanny, Brian, and Carol, into this fellowship? Do you, as a congregation, promise by God's grace to receive them in the spirit of Christian love, to encourage them in their walk with Jesus, and to also pray for them as they strive to follow Jesus? If you can affirm that, I would invite everyone to stand. So would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you and praise you for your deep, unending, everlasting love for us. Thank you that you sent your Son Jesus into this world, and he was willing to give his life so that we can have our sins forgiven and have that precious gift of the salvation of our souls and eternal life. So we thank you for that. We ask for your special blessing upon Rachel and Kaylee, upon Tony, upon Fanny, upon Brian, upon Carol, as they become members here at our church this morning. And I pray that you would give us as a congregation the ability to encourage them, interact with them, and to welcome them with open arms. So we ask all this and pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You guys can be seated. So I just want to draw your attention to the baptismal vases on the front here. The water they're going to be baptized with is in these vases. Their names and today's date are on the vases also. So after they're baptized this morning, they will take these home, be able to set them on their dresser in their room or wherever they desire, just as a reminder of what has taken place today. There's also a certificate of baptism that they will have also as a reminder of what has taken place this morning here as they receive water baptism. So this time I'd like to move into baptism. So Rachel, would you come forward, and I invite Tony and Teresa to come forward as well. So Rachel, upon the confession of faith that you made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Rachel, I extend my hand to you. Arise and walk in the newness of life that Jesus Christ has secured for you on the cross. God bless you. So Kaylee, would you come forward, and Crystal and Justin, would you come forward as well? So Kaylee, upon the confession of faith that you made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Kaylee, I extend to you the right hand of fellowship. Arise and walk in the newness of life that Jesus has secured for you on the cross of Calvary. God bless you. So what a special day. This is one of the most joyous days of my life, when we have baptisms, when I can be a part of this and welcoming people into our fellowship here at Bowmansville. So God bless you all, and again, welcome to Bowmansville. So would you lead us in a closing song?
Such a special day. We have two closing songs, but they're short. Step by Step, and This Is My Desire.
Good morning. I just want to let you all know next Sunday, which is April 10th, and the following Sunday, April 17th, we are doing two Easter lessons. We are jumping out of the curriculum that we are, so don't read ahead and think you're getting somewhere, because you won't be. But you can read ahead in the bulletin under Sunday School. It gives you all the scriptures that we will be looking at next week in Sunday school, so you can actually read ahead if you go with this here. So that will be next Sunday, April 10th and April 17th. Classes all meet the same. It's just we're studying on Easter. The second thing I would like to ask you for is May 29th, Flowing Waters will be having the service here. If you could pray for Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is going to give his testimony that Sunday morning. He is at, they call it Restart, which is over in Strasbourg. Jaime Santiago is the leader there, and if any of you were out at June 5 at Music in the Park last year, he gave his testimony. So Daniel Jones is in that program there right now. He's going to give his testimony. And there is two guys coming from Main Point, which is what Floyd Shark runs up in Ephrata. There's two guys coming from there. So just if you could pray for them. Thanks.
So just a couple of more announcements before we dismiss. An update on Grace Zimmerman. Grace Zimmerman did not move to Pleasant View. There's several reasons why she did not. So she is still at Maple Farm. So don't go to Pleasant View intending to visit her because she will not be there. She'll be at Pleasant, or she'll be at She'll be at Maple Farms through April the 7th when she has another scan of her shoulder to see how her shoulder's healing. So I just wanted to give you that update. So in case you want to visit her, that you don't run to Mannheim and find her not there. Secondly, thank you for everyone who's volunteered to be a part of our VBS. All the positions are and roles are filled, and so we're all ready for VBS. So thank you. Thank you for responding, and we're ready to roll. Also, draw your attention to the announcement in the bulletin concerning members meeting on April the 26th. It'd be great to have the sanctuary filled that evening as it is this morning, because we want to talk about some renovations, talk about some future plans. So you're all invited and encouraged to come and be a part of that meeting. And there's a note in your bulletin that explains a little bit more about that. I don't need to read that for you. I think you're all capable of reading yourself. So, also a reminder, Good Friday service is coming up, and a special invitation to the children, because that evening will be designed for the children. I want to make the message simple and understandable for children, which will include us all as we understand what Jesus did for us on the cross. Last, the special offering for the Ukraine Relief Fund. Baskets are available at the front of the bank, front and the back of the sanctuary, I think on the table downstairs. That offering will go to MCC, who is actively involved in Ukraine, and we all know what's happening in Ukraine. So please contribute to that as the Lord leads you. So would you stand for this parting benediction? May the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. God bless you. Go in peace. Have a great week. You're dismissed.